4.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. Today we are celebrating the end of the summer, and that's why I'm wearing inappropriate clothing. I just felt I did not want to wear jeans and a regular shirt, because I'm not crazy about the autumn. I like the summer, although if you hang with me in the summer, I will complain it's too hot, but I still like it. My special guest today is singer-songwriter, rock star Dan Sheehan from the Dan Sheehan Conspiracy, as well as some other groups. What was the band you played in Boston?
Banter.
Banter. Mm-hmm. Nice name. So, part one of this, we talked about some of your faraway gigs. We talked about Arizona, talked about going to Texas. Yep. Interesting to me would be to hear some tales of some fun gigs you've done locally.
All right, yeah.
Now you work, tell me the configurations that you work in.
Usually it's either just me or it's a 3 to 4 piece band with bass, guitar, and drums. Either one or two guitarists.
Depending upon the money, right?
Yeah, depending on availability. Guys, you know, that's the thing. When you're in a band that's like your solo thing, you have to expect that the other guys that play with you play in other groups also. So
unless the cash you pay them is super high.
Yeah.
And then they'll make it available.
Yeah.
But right now, you spent a lot of time working on your CD called The Dan Sheehan Conspiracy. Why don't you lift it up slowly? And he's going to face it right into the...
Ooh.
Now, if you
combat
do that...
Combat disc. This is like an ancient thing here, right? A relic from the past.
So explain the cover.
Well, that's me sitting there in Bryant Park trying to look a little mysterious, I guess, or trying to look like, you know, suspicious or something like that.
Bryant Park, New York City, where they have the fashion shows and all the models hang out.
That's the one, yep. Behind the library, and inside here you got me in Grand Central Station, not too far from there. A few photos, probably hard to see right now, you know, coming off the train and you know, reading a Chinese newspaper and looking around, you know, making sure no one's, you know, out to get me. I'm trying to look paranoid and stuff. So then on the back, apparently I am carrying a guitar case full of laundered money, and the whole musician thing is, you know, just a front. And I didn't mention before that the conspiracy thing also came from this band that I was in shortly that a long time ago. We sometimes practiced at the bass player's house in Brooklyn, and there's something going on there. Like where people have a thing, blue light in the window that says EZZ, and we could never figure out what that was about, so we thought it was some conspiracy, and briefly that was called the EZZ conspiracy, that band.
See, funny, when I lived in Manhattan, there were buildings near my apartment that had red lights in certain apartment windows, but we figured that conspiracy out pretty easily.
Okay. I gotcha.
Didn't take a rocket science.
Yeah. I don't think that was what was going on at these nice family homes in Midwood, Brooklyn, though.
But you never know. I lived in Teaneck, New Jersey, owned a house on a nice street with, like, 50-year-old trees, and at the end of my block was a house that was a little run down, and there was always a lot of motorcycles out of it, a little out of character. We found out by reading the Bergen Record that it was a bordello. So, you never know.
So, you didn't find out, you know, because you of course, never went anywhere near the place. Or anyone you knew.
I would never admit it on camera. But it was interesting.
A wise decision.
Yes, it was interesting, and it was like one of the first cell phone things. But, so, we're getting into kind of interesting stories. Tell me one of your fascinating gigs.
Okay. Well, let's see. It's not that local, but it was in Boston with my old group Banter. It was like the second gig we played, and the band actually at that time was called Rogues Gallery, and we were playing at a club that had like a marquee, and they put the name of the band, and it just so happened that another guy who had a band called Rogues Gallery was walking by and saw this. He got infuriated. We stole his name, so he came in the club and threatened to sue us while we're like setting up on stage, and then during the set he, you know, like threw like mugs and pitchers and then a stool at me while I'm playing.
Didn't have security.
Stool
at the
very
club?
Much like that one. Don't get any ideas though.
No security at the club. No big beefy dudes.
I guess he was busy working the door, you know. And I didn't even know what was going on because I'm in my onstage days, you know. I heard about it afterwards that all this stuff was thrown at me. I was like, oh, that's what those mugs and stuff were on stage.
And see, I have to be careful. I have a little bit of a temper and I'm a fourth degree black belt. I might have taken my guitar off and beaten him.
Yeah. Someone told me once about some Rolling Stones clip where someone ran on the stage and Keith Richards just took his guitar and like smacked the person down.
And Keith is only like this high.
Yeah.
You know, the Rolling Stones are miniatures. They're all like 5 feet tall.
Oh, really? How did you know that?
Yeah. Huh. You know, it's like most movie actors, Tom Cruise, a lot of the movie actors are very, very short. Huh. Anyway, interesting. How about playing some tunes for us?
All right. Oops. Gonna start out with one that's not on the disc there. It'll be on the next one, and it's called 11th Hour.
Thank you.
when you listen to it back, you're going to keep that note. It was good.
All right. Take your word for it.
I liked the way that you did D major and D minor in the same song. That was neat.
I do a lot of stuff like that without really even thinking about it. But, yeah.
Very nice. So what else you got for us today?
All right.
As opposed to tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to have a lot of other stuff. Today, I'm going to carry on with a song called Patterns of the Rain. That's my Paul McCartney imitation there.
What's it called?
Patterns of the Rain. Oh, and this is on the CD. This is a song about geology. It's called Rock Song.
Yeah.
doomed to all decay. What a great, yeah. What a great concept. Well,
maybe not all of it, you know, but 99 and 44 100%. I think that's how pure Ivory Soap is.
Ivory Soap is stinky. It smells. I recently started using it again. I wish they would make it 100% pure and leave the scent off.
Yeah, I know. I saw Jay Leno joke about that. He's like,
oh, yeah?
It's 99 and 44 100% pure and 56 100% butane or something like that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that he says that, because if you go to the supermarket and you're looking at whatever particular remedy, you know, and you want to compare like the brand name to the store name, you look at the active ingredient. And it's never more than like 2% of the concoction.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. So one of the questions that you prepared for us, and you've done a great job with the prepared questions on part one, was what CDs would you bring with your boombox to a desert island?
Yeah, now I have to ask, our box sets are not allowed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
All right. Well, I don't think the Beatles have a box set.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
Is it like, here's all the albums in a box, or?
Oh, it was like, remember when they started releasing some like John Lennon Beatles songs?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they have like three box. They have like, well, you know, whatever they have, there'll be more. But so you want a Beatles collection.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd have to check it, because I often disagree with the songs they pick for those things. But, yeah, I got to have some Beatles. If I had to pick one of their regular albums, I'd probably say the White Album, because it's got, like, well, it's two albums. It's a double album. It's got such a variety of stuff on it.
I was, you know, I was at work, and I was looking at my MP3 player, and I have like three or four Beatles albums, and two that I never play are the White Album and Abbey Road. I just don't really like those albums anymore.
You know, like the later stuff.
I love this one album that I have, the British version, the Beatles Cell or something, and it starts with No Reply and I'm a Loser.
Oh yeah.
And that,
yeah.
and
Beatles for Sale, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I was listening, one of my favorite, I'm not really a big Paul fan, but I've Just Seen a Face, I think it's a great song.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a good live version of that on the Live Wings album from like the mid-70s.
Really? I'll have to check that out.
Yeah.
So the Beatles, name some more favorite Beatles songs.
Favorite songs? Nowhere Man. I actually also like the Rubber Soul album quite a lot.
The English version was completely different.
Yeah, it's probably better. If I want to put on the spot, you know, Norwegian Wood.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Like, I like a lot of the Lennon and Harrison songs. I mean, I like all of them, but a little biased towards the Lennon and Harrison stuff. And as far as just another disc to bring, I'd have to bring something by Led Zeppelin. So I might cheat and bring their box set. Or
now I have that box set. I don't know if it's the latest one, but it has every studio album.
Well, there you go. That's the one, then.
Yeah. It's got, because at the time, there was a double CD Greatest Hits, and I told my wife that's what I wanted. But she came back, I mean, bless her heart, she came back with this monstrous thing that had every studio album, including one with, like, outtakes on it and stuff. So,
yeah. But when I try to explain the Dan Sheen Conspiracy album, I often say it's kind of like a modern version of the White Album or like Led Zeppelin 3, only because these are albums that have a good range. I'm not really into the whole, you know, stick to one sound thing, and especially since this is a solo album, you know, with being solo, you should have a little extra freedom. So
sure.
I kind of, you know, maybe I went to the extreme, but, you know, I've got, you know, some very mellow stuff and some fairly, you know, hard rock and stuff on the album, too.
So it's funny. I mean, we both grew up on Long Island, fairly close to each other.
Nassau County.
Right, but probably 10, 20 years apart, because I grew up in the 60s, basically. But we have similar tastes, and I give you credit. You've studied your classic rock.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I was real sad this week because the keyboard player from Pink Floyd passed away.
Yeah, yeah.
Richard Wright.
Sid Barrett died just 2 years ago, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah. But his spirit was a little remote from
yeah.
before that. Any other records you might think of?
Oh, see, you said two, and I didn't think beyond that, but no.
Just say no. I got plenty of other questions.
Oh, I might bring Nirvana Unplugged, because that actually, last show that we taped, I was mentioning the Meat Puppets, and I'm a fan of them, and that's a good way to cheat if you have a limited amount of stuff, because the Meat Puppets joined them for a couple of songs, Lake of Fire and stuff like that, so get a little of them on there as well. Maybe Pearl Jam 10, probably some Pink Floyd, gotta bring some Pink Floyd, some Bob Dylan.
You gotta have Mr. Mustache, Mr. Pencil, Mustache.
Yeah, and everyone's gotta have Bob Marley, I guess Desert Island, I'd bring Legend, because it's a good sample of everything.
That's my number one pick, Legend. Mm-hmm. Actually, in my band, we're doing more and more reggae.
Oh, yeah?
Because I want to play smaller rooms where I don't have to play loud, mm-hmm. but I could still move people. So, yeah, Legend is... I just learned One Love.
Oh.
Never did that one.
Great.
You know, everybody does the same three Bob Marley songs. Stir It Up, Jam In.
You think Redemption Song is one of them?
I hate that song.
Yeah?
I hate that song. I mean, Stevie Wonder's covered it. I hated it so much... that when I bought the LP and I copied it onto cassette, I left that song off.
Oh, really?
I rarely do that.
Well, yeah, I like it. It's got a good message and all. But, yeah, sometimes when a million people do their own version of the song. There was a guy, I don't want to get too negative, but there was a guy playing on the New York City subway that every time I saw him, he was playing that song.
Wow.
And doing it in a really weird voicing. He'd be like, "Emancipate your self-remental slavery. I'm about our Celestin for your minds." I was like,
actually, it's an interesting thing. One of my pet I try to be positive, but one of my pet peeves is when they change a greatest hits album. I used to have the LP, Donovan's Greatest Hits,
mm-hmm.
and one of my all-time favorite songs is Catch the Wind. And he has a beautiful, almost rock opera version of it. And then, many years later, I buy the CD, and they stuck his acoustic guitar version of it. Acoustic guitar version, which is not bad, but... that was the reason I bought the album. I wanted that song. And one other thing, there's another song on the Legend album that they changed the mix on. I can't remember the same name. But anyway, it was a pleasure having you down. It's always a pleasure.
We're out of time already? Time flies.
2 seconds.
Uh-huh.
Thanks so much for coming, Dan.
Thank you.
All right. Jeez. Okay.
Yeah, it definitely flies by pretty quick.